Yay. And we also have, for those of you who don't know, we have baby number 3 on the way. This isn't just a full dinner, so there's a person in there. Cool. Okay, so let's get to it. This was really exciting because, honestly, I was kind of like, Lord, I really need you for this. When they asked me, I was like, yeah, totally. And then I looked at, for all of you who read the Bible today, you know what it's about, but looked ahead and was like, oh, okay, so Revelation 10, Exodus 10, okay. God, you're very mysterious. But this is fun, because honestly, I love those challenges, because there's that proverb that says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the honor of kings to search it out. And I'm like, you know what, Lord, you are like super concealing your glory here. So I feel super honored to search it out. And I learned some things in the process. I'm really excited to share with you guys a little bit about the journey. And so the title of this message is God's GPA. Thanks, Ellis, for that. God's glory, his power, and his authority, his GPA. So we're going to start with Revelation chapter 10. And I'm going to read it right here. The slide should be behind me too. But it says, then I saw another extremely powerful angel coming out of heaven, robed in a cloud. There was a halo over his head like a rainbow. His face shined bright like the sun, his legs like pillars of fire. He held a little open scroll in his hand. He set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land and gave a tremendous shout like a lion's roar. That's right. And when he shouted, the 7 thunders responded, rumbling out their messages. I knew that was coming, but it still kind of gave me the woo. So fun. So the identity of the angel is unclear, but there's this aspect of glory that I really want us to look at. I love all the senses. I'm for all of you at Winter Weekend or who have taken the God's sacred pathways, which is just the different ways that people feel really connected to God. I'm a sensei. That's my number one, meaning I feel very close to God through all of the senses. I love colors. I love sounds. I love tastes. I love smells. Like, it's a full all senses experience. And so I love this, even though Revelations is super mysterious, I love all of the different senses that you can experience here. So as I'm picturing this, okay, I have this vision of this visual, like, okay, this big glorious angel comes out on a cloud. There's a halo around his head like a rainbow. Like, what does that even mean? I'm like, Lord, what does that look like? And is it an actual rainbow? Because there's like rainbows that happen in real life, or there's like rainbows from like reflected light from crystals, or is it like gems? Like, does he have a crown and is it like a colorful gems? I don't know. So I'm just kind of exploring this with God. What is that like? His face shine bright like the sun, his legs like pillars of fire. And just thinking of, I don't know if any of you have ever seen at a concert those like fire effects, those blades, like, but I'm like, each one of those was like one of his legs, like these huge pillars of fire. He had one on the land, one on the sea, to kind of, well, my understanding is to be like, you know what? He has dominion over all of creation, has a shout like a lion's roar. And then there's these 7 thunders that respond their messages, which, by the way, is the only, to my understanding, the only message in Revelation that John was never allowed to write what the message was. So it's still a mystery. He was about to write it, and then he was told not to, that to keep it mysterious. So we don't know the content of the messages, but so visualizing all of this, kind of letting God imagine with him, which I highly encourage, just, well, kids are really good about that, but I think it's really important for us as we read the word to just, let me just picture what this is like. Let me be imaginative. Let me be creative. God really is. And so I'm reading this. I'm like, God loves color. He loves sparkle. He loves even like, okay, so today, was it today? Yeah, this morning, the snow was just so pretty and so sparkly. And Ellis and I comment, or maybe it was Ellis's comment, we're just like, man, like, what, imagine that, but like gold. Like if that was all gold dust, and that was like the roads of heaven, like, oh, God loves it. So I think I reflect him in that sense too. I love it too. So anyway, I'm looking into this, and thunder a lot of times in the Bible represents the voice of God. And there's a psalm I want to read to you guys, Psalm 29. There was this connection to the thunderous voice of God. And this psalm is called the Glory Thunder of God, I believe. Let me pull open my Bible and tell you what it actually says. Oh, the glory God thunders. Ooh. So I want to read this out loud to you guys, because sometimes, well, another thing, I'm just kind of sharing my process with you guys. Again, the senses. A lot of times I like to read the Bible out loud to myself. I feel like God is like preaching at me, like the Bible's preaching at me. If you ever, seriously, if any of you ever try this, just go home and just read out loud with just authority the Bible, you're like, wow, it's like preaching at me. And it's like, yeah, it is. The Bible preaches at me. So I just want to read it out loud to you guys, because I feel like this is just so powerful. But something I also want to tell you guys about this psalm that I discovered was that this psalm, Psalm 29, is read in Jewish synagogues on the first day of the Feast of Harvest, which is also called the Feast of Pentecost, which for Christians, we know, it's the church's birthday. Woohoo! Pentecost. Where Christians, well, they weren't Christians yet, but they were waiting for the promise, and then they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that's the day of Pentecost. The Jewish synagogues read this verse, Psalm 29, on the first day of Pentecost. So I'm going to read it to you guys. So Psalm 29, the glory God thunders. Proclaim his majesty, all you mighty champions, you sons of Almighty God, giving all the glory and strength back to him. Be in awe before his majesty. Be in awe before such power and might. Come, worship wonderful Yahweh, arrayed in all his splendor, bowing in worship as he appears in the beauty of holiness. Give him the honor due his name. Worship him wearing the glory garments of your holy priestly calling. The voice of the Lord echoes through the skies and seas. The glory God reigns as he thunders in the clouds. So powerful is his voice, so brilliant and bright. How majestic as he thunders over the great waters. His tympanic thunder topples the strongest of trees. His symphonic sound splinters the mighty forests. Now he moves Zion's mountains by the might of his voice, shaking the snowy peaks with his ear-splitting sound. The lightning fire flashes, striking as he speaks. God reveals himself when he makes the fault lines quake, shaking deserts, speaking his voice. His mighty voice makes the deer to give birth. His thunderbolt voice lays the forest bare. In his temple, all fall before him, with each one shouting, glory, glory, the God of glory. Above the furious flood, the enthroned one reigns. The King God rules with eternity at his side. This is the one who gives his strength and might to his people. This is the Lord giving us his kiss of peace. I'm like, and they read that, the first, I'm like, I feel like that's awesome for the birth of the church, even Pentecost Day, but I learned something new in this process. I learned all these new things, and something I want, I'm going to connect some themes that I see. There's just some themes that I saw in these connected testaments. And so the first theme, God's glory, God's glory, his majesty, his royal power, his beauty, his glory, his supremacy, and seriously, go home and just Psalm 29, read this to yourself, read it out loud, imagine with God, just and just wow, what that would have been like, what it would have been like for John to see this vision of, honestly, all of Revelation is just crazy. But just imagine that experience. Okay. Now we're going to look at Exodus chapter 10. So it's the plague of the locusts and the darkness. A lot of you have been reading along. You know that Pharaoh is being yucky. He's like, no way, Jose. Yeah, Mr. Yuck, Mr. Yuck. He's saying no to God. And so all these plagues are coming on Egypt. And here's the next one in Exodus chapter 10, starting in verse 13. So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt throughout that day and night. The Lord sent an east wind across the land. By morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts swarmed across the land, settled over the entire territory of Egypt, and never before had there been so many locusts, and never again will there be. They covered the face of all the land until it was black. Ugh. And they consumed all the plants on the ground and all the fruit on the trees that the hail had left behind the previous plague. Nothing green was left on any tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. This is really intense. Okay, again, like I was saying, I imagine, I'm like, what would it have been like? And locusts are super nasty, like really nasty. Okay, without, you can find me after to find more details about this, but just randomly, like a year ago, Ellis and I, when we visit my parents, we like watch documentaries. because we don't have a TV in our house. So at my parents' house, we're like, let's watch documentaries. So we're watching a documentary on plagues. And one, I know, yeah, there's plagues exist still. There's like mice plagues in Australia and locust plagues. And it was this big documentary on the nastiness of locusts. Like, I will never look at locusts the same. Like, they are demonic. So, like, you can ask me, you can ask us about it later, but it's like, ugh. So anyway, with that information, I'm visualizing like all of this happening. It says there's so many locusts that the, like, all the land is black. Like, all the land is black. I don't know if you see, they're so nasty. Like, I'm just visualizing. I think I would have passed out from just being grossed out, but they are huge. Like, the average adult locust is 40 to 60 centimeters big. And they, if there were so many that the land was like black, like the floor was darkened like that, like just picturing all of them flying around, it just, anyway, super gross, super grosses me out. Very nasty. I think they're little demons now. But God did this. This was a plague. Pharaoh was not letting his God's people go. And God was the one that sent these locusts to the land. And then Pharaoh still doesn't listen, doesn't get a clue. So then God sends the plague of darkness, starting in verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Lift your hand toward heaven, and the land of Egypt will be covered with darkness so thick that you can feel it." And then it happened. And so I'm thinking about this, so dark that you can feel. I mean, I thought about, like, let's turn off all the lights. But then I figured, after the lion's roar and the thunder and then talking about nasty locusts, I don't want to send you guys home feeling, blah. So we won't shut off the lights. But just picture, just imagine what it would have been like for it to be so dark that you can actually feel it. Like, there's this weight to the darkness that was over the whole land. Like, I can't even imagine what that would feel like. Like, even in the darkest room where I can't see anything, I still, like, in faith kind of feel like there's openness there. But this says it was so dark, it was palpable. Like, you can feel this darkness. So Just imagine what that would have been like to be there. What it would have been like to be the people of Israel, where that didn't affect you, to see it happening to the nation of Egypt. Who else has that kind of power, that authority, to exercise such dominion over creation like this? God, right? And that was my next two themes. God's glory, number one. Two, God's power. Three, God's authority. God's power and authority are absolute. Why does God put his power on display like this? Why does God do all this, these plagues, but specifically what I'm talking about here, the locusts, the darkness? Exodus 10 says, in verse 2, it says, "So you will know that I am the Lord." So you would know that I am the Lord. Wow. God's, and he's talking, yes, he's talking to Egypt, but he's addressing the people of God right there. "So you will know that I am the Lord." It would be wise of us, another takeaway, it would be wise of me to acknowledge that he is the Lord right now. It would be wise of me to be like, "You got the power. You got the GPA. You alone are God." And as I wrap things up, for all of you who are connecting the Testaments Plus and who read Job 28 today, talking about wisdom, Job also kind of alludes to this idea of God being in control of all creation as well. Job 28, "For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to the human race, 'The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding.'" So my takeaway in this process is that God is sovereign and he has the most awesome and absolute GPA there ever is. The glory, the power, the authority. So let's fear him. Fear him and revere him today, because God says that is wisdom. Because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And for us to be a wise people, to choose to humble myself and acknowledge that truth today. So, amen. That was my little journey here. Thank you. And yeah, do you close up for me? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mia. Very well done. Thank you so much.